Well, today I'm not going to speak very long, and I have a treat for you. That's not the treat, that I'm speaking for just a shorter amount of time. After the sermon, just want to share with you what the Lord is doing in our missionary partnerships in Ukraine, and so I'll speak a little briefer today. And we are in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, just six mighty verses that speak to us about wisdom that comes from above. And you'll see in these six verses a stark contrast between earthly wisdom, that is natural wisdom that a man has apart from God, and the wisdom that comes from above, godly wisdom. If I were to ask today, which of you is wise? Who is the wise man among you? Well, many of us would be tempted to say, hey, right over here, raise my hand. But the way to determine if a person is truly wise is not to see how they perform in a game of Trivial Pursuit or how they score on certain exams. James is going to suggest that, no, that is visible by their lifestyle. And he's going to show us the difference between worldly wisdom and the wisdom that comes from above. Beautiful passage of scripture in front of us today. I hope you'll be able to see that and then quickly apply that to your life. He says in verse 13, who is wise? Or some of your translation, who is the wise man amongst you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, before you raise your hand too quickly, James is going to suggest that it's actually something that is observable by the way you live your life. He says, then if you're truly wise, let him show by good conduct. Let him demonstrate that outwardly. Let him put this faith to work. Let him demonstrate it by outward visible conduct. And so wisdom should not be defined as I understand and have a great deal of facts packed into my mind. Wisdom is not necessarily just knowledge, but it's the application of knowledge, specifically godly knowledge, that gets traction and is lived out in a person's life. When James is speaking about wisdom, to be sure, he's trying to communicate that it has something to do with lifestyle. That it gets traction in a person's life and it's lived out. You can't say, I've got all this wisdom and then it not have traction in your life. Especially as it pertains to godly wisdom. And so wisdom is the knowledge of God lived out in a lifestyle of the believer. And that stands in stark contrast to the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of man, so to speak, compared to the wisdom of God. And so he challenges the one who claims to be wise. Okay, you make straight A's. Okay, you claim to be wise. You claim to know God. But now let him show it. Let him put his faith to work. Let him show it by his conduct, his behavior, his lifestyle, that his works are done in the meekness, the gentleness, the humility of wisdom. Now, when we think about wisdom, James has already introduced us to this idea of having wisdom. Now, if you would, kind of picture up here two different gardens that you cultivate out of. There's this garden of wisdom that comes from above. And there's all kinds of great fruits that come from this garden. God wants us to cultivate and to live out of this arena of truth. That wisdom is available to you. Do you remember in James chapter 1 verse 5? The beginning of James, where James says, if any of you as God's people, if any of you lack wisdom, then let him ask of God, who gives it to you generously without finding fault. What a great offer that God gives his people. We have now as his people, now that we're born again and saved and the Spirit resides in us, We have access to God's wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above. We can tap into it and we can live a life that's pleasing to God. The rest of the world may not understand it. You see, the world cultivates a different garden. It's the wisdom that is from below, and believe me, it is of disorder, disunity. We're going to see more about that as James is going to describe that. And it's a lot of selfishness. It's about me. It's about my entertainment, my pleasure. Now, James is going to challenge us, hey, ask God. He'll give you the wisdom that you need. It's available to you. And I want you to operate in this arena of wisdom that comes from above. Do you remember the writer of Proverbs? In the very beginning, he starts speaking to us about wisdom. And in chapter 1, verse 7, Proverbs 1, verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom. But fools despise wisdom." Well, he's saying, don't be foolish. Notice the difference and live with this wisdom that comes from above. He says now in verses 14, 15, 16, he's going to describe worldly wisdom, the wisdom from below, to set up this contrast. So read with me, if you will. In verse 14, he says, "But if you have," if this describes your lifestyle, "if you have bitter envy, harsh jealousy." It's a sharp term. It's pretty piercing here. Harsh jealousy. Have you ever struggled with that? I have. Harsh jealousy. Bitter envy. You look around and you start thinking about what other people have, what other people do. And this is the flesh that's welling up in us. And he's saying, hey, if this is your life, this marks you, he says, you're operating in the wrong arena. You're not working in the arena that comes from above. He says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, or some of your translations say selfish ambition. That is the type of ambition that says, what's in it for me? How can I be glorified? I want people to see me this way. I want to receive the glory rather than God have the glory. I want to be the one getting the pat on the back. This is about me. And listen, we live in a world that is cultivating me-ism. You know what I mean by that? Hey, it's all about you. You made it. Just go on and enjoy it. Take all what you want. He whoever dies with the most toys wins. And it's this worldly wisdom. It's about selfish ambition. I want my glory, my name. And then you start, when you're over here, you're looking around and you're comparing yourself with others. And when we do so, we sin. I want to have the car he has. I want to have the house he has. I want to have the job he has. I want those trophies. Hey, I look around and I see on Twitter, he's got more followers than me. I want to be that guy. I want to have that. Well, you fill in the blank. I want his family. Why does he get to have that? I want to sing like that. Rather than being content with what God has given to you and being faithful with what God has given to you, you now envy because of your selfish ambition rather than godly ambition. And so he says, if you have this harsh envy, this bitter jealousy, and selfish ambition, where? You see those three words right there? In your heart. In other words, that's your motivation. One of the things I always try to teach my children is, why do you do what you do? Hey, I cleaned up the whole house. And my son will go, translation, she wants a toy. I'm like, hey, sinking in, you're understanding motivation. Why do you do what you do? Do you do it because you simply want to please God, whether anybody sees it or not? God, as long as you're pleased and as long as I glorify you, then you're operating in the wisdom that comes from above. But you know the motivation. Why do people do it? Well, they want to make some money. They want to get some fame. They want to do something that is glorifying to themselves rather than making a difference for the kingdom of God. And so God tells us to search our hearts. Really what James is doing right here is he's saying, make sure you understand your motivation. That where are you coming from? He says, and if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, that's your motive. He says, then don't go around boasting. Because by doing so, you lie against the truth. You're not operating in the arena of truth. You're operating in worldly wisdom and falsehood. This type of wisdom, worldly wisdom, does not come down, does not descend from above. That didn't originate with God. That originated with sinful nature. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is, now watch the threefold description. He says it is earthly or worldly. Hey, we know the world system says get it all for yourself. It's all about you. Entertain and pleasure yourself and live for yourself. That's what the world's garden is cultivating. And it's all around us. You watch TV, it's brainwashing you and telling you it's all about you. It appeals to the flesh. Hey man, I got to eat that. I've got to drink that. I've got to get that. And they spend millions of dollars marketing to appeal to the flesh. And this wisdom comes not from above, but it is worldly. Secondly, it is sensual or fleshly. It appeals to the flesh. And where does it originate? He says here, and it is demonic. It is demonic. You know, we've heard the threefold enemy against humanity or against God's people. And that is the world, the flesh, and Satan. And there it is right there. And they're trying to get you to operate in this worldly arena of wisdom. I just want to think like the world, be like the world, do like the world. And God says, no, that's easy to do. But what's harder to do, but yet possible to do, is to think and put your faith to work and trust in God's wisdom. And so the Apostle John writes, and he says, I have no greater desire than to know that my children are walking in the truth. That means that they're right in here, trusting God, obtaining the wisdom from God, seeking God, and that lifestyle, that walking with God is now manifesting itself in their life. And so he says that this wisdom descends not from above, but it's worldly, fleshly, sensual, and demonic. And notice the results of it in verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, guess what you got? You've got confusion, disorder from instability, and every evil thing exists when you're in that arena. That's just where it ends. And believe me, while it's easy and the world is cultivating that mentality, you must resist. And how do you do that? Remember the words that Moses, the Lord, told Joshua. He says, hey, if you want to be successful, you need to meditate in and to marinate in the truth of God's word. Don't stray away from it to the left or to the right, but you stay centered right in God's word. And then God will make your way prosperous. Joshua 1, 9 through 13. And that's how you do that. Now, in verse 17, he's going to take a whole new direction. He just described the pitfalls of worldly wisdom. And then he uses this word, but. It means as opposed to, or he's setting up a contrast. And believe me, it's a sharp contrast. He says, but the wisdom that comes from above, that's heavenly wisdom. That's godly wisdom. Let me ask you today, what does God want you to operate under? Worldly or godly wisdom? Then what are you lending your mind to? What are you feeding your mind with? Maybe you've heard this story. Which dog wins, the little dog or the big dog? You got a little dog and you got a big tough dog. Which dog wins? Whichever dog you feed. Whichever dog you feed. And if you feed the flesh or you feed the spirit, which one are you feeding? Which one are you cultivating? And James is saying, look, ask God for wisdom. It's available. Live your life in this arena. It's possible. You see, this wisdom that comes from above. And then he's going to give an eightfold description, how beautiful it is. It may be foolish to the world, but listen to what God says about this wisdom. He says, first of all, number one, it is pure. It is undefiled. It is not flawed. That's a word that is used to describe Jesus. Pure. That wisdom is pure. Do you see the beauty of that? Number one, it is pure. And then secondly, he says, and then peaceable. This world seems to be grabbing after and chasing after peace. But it can't find peace until it finds the Prince of Peace. And a lot of what James is saying here parallels very similar to the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, so they shall obtain peace. Is there peace in your house? Is there peace in your life? Hey, listen, God will give you the peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of turmoil, when you operate in this arena. He says, this wisdom is pure. Secondly, it's peaceable. Thirdly, it's gentle. God is gentle. When I think of Christ, he's gentle. Fourthly, willing to yield. Interesting word that's used here. It has this idea of, it is not stubbornness. This wisdom that comes from above, you ever met somebody that's just stubborn? Not willing to yield, not willing to compromise, not teachable, but yet this word here is speaking of somebody who's willing to compromise, not compromise truth, but willing to yield. They are compliant, they are teachable. And then fifthly, full of mercy. Isn't that beautiful? Full of mercy. It describes a person who is quick to forgive. They see somebody hurting and they have a compassion for them. There is sympathy toward them. There is this desire to forgive. They are full of mercy. And again, you think of the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This wisdom is full of mercy. And then six, it is full of good fruits. Now, you'll have to pardon me for what pops into my mind as I think of this. You know, they have companies that will deliver fruit baskets to your house, or maybe you've had a fruit basket delivered to you, and you just open it up, and there's just this variety of good fruits. It's not like, well, it's only bananas or only apples. It's just a variety of all kinds of beneficial things. And that's what James is saying here. It's like, I can't take the time to describe, but what you need to know is it's in this arena where there's just a garden or a plethora of great things, great benefits when you walk over here. Now, Satan may allure you in the world. The flesh may lure you over here saying it looks good, it sounds good, it tastes good, but in the end it leads to death. And this leads to good things. And so James describes it here as good fruits. We think of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the types of fruits that manifest themselves. The world seems to be fighting for it, but it's going about getting it the wrong way. Doesn't want to do it God's way. The natural man, it says in Corinthians, it just can't even understand it. But if you're a child of God, you've been born again, the Spirit resides in you and you understand it. And so the challenge is then you stay right here and operate in this arena of wisdom that comes from above, because it will result in, and it is described as pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits. And then seventh, without partiality. It's not flawed. It's not compromised. It's not wavering. It is stable. It brings stability into your life. And then lastly, number eight, it is without hypocrisy. A lot of hypocrites, even in the church today, right? He's saying this wisdom's not fake. It's not fake in any way. It's without hypocrisy. And this is the lifestyle that is marked into the life of the believer. And now he says in closing in verse 18, he says, now the fruit of righteousness, remember I liken this to a garden over here. He says the fruit that grows here, the fruit of righteousness is sown here. When you're operating in this arena, it cultivates peace and righteousness. And it is sown and planted in peace by those who make peace. Now, when I line it up right next to each other and describe it, it kind of brings it home. I want you to listen to the contrast worded here, and then we'll close. The wisdom that God offers, heavenly, divine, godly wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, is gentle and generous versus selfish and jealous. Wisdom that comes from above speaks the truth versus speaking lies and deceitfulness. The wisdom that comes from above is pure and organized versus disorderly and demonic. The wisdom that comes from above results in peace versus resulting in disharmony and disunity. The wisdom that comes from above is reasonable versus self-centered. The wisdom that comes from above glorifies God. The wisdom that comes from below glorifies self. The wisdom that comes from above appeals to the spirit. The wisdom that comes from below appeals to the flesh. The wisdom that comes from above yields the fruit of love and mercy versus the fruit of strife in a person's life. And so James speaks to you and he says, who amongst you is wise? Then let him demonstrate that and show it by good behavior and a lifestyle that is given over to following God and His ways. So put your faith to work and operate in the arena of the wisdom that comes from above. I remember when I was leaving my corporate job, I got saved right after college when I was going to climb the corporate ladder. God dealt with me. He's saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you, you're leaving this job. Now believe me, there's a lot of believers who are in corporate life, and I praise the Lord. That's where God's got you. That's your ministry. And the gentleman that's about to come up here and speak is a shining example of godliness in the workplace. And God said, for me though, you're leaving this. You're going to leave this job and this lifestyle. You're going to go to seminary and you're going into ministry full time. I explained that to my boss. I said, give you a month notice or whatever it is, but this is what I'm doing. He knew I was very serious about my faith. And he says, that is foolish. You are giving up everything for nothing. I said, no, it's godly. And I'm giving up nothing for everything. You see, there's a stark contrast between worldly wisdom and the wisdom that comes from above. Now, I said I have a treat. Remember, that treat's not that I'm leaving off early here. I'm going to introduce Brother Troy Meacham. I'm going to ask Troy to come on up here now. Troy is a great leader in our small groups for the Young Pro Ministry. A big part of this, the success of the godliness that's going into and the growth that's going into, the spiritual nourishment that's going into our young professionals' ministry. And Troy's going to come and speak to us as we constantly highlight what God is doing in our church family overseas. And this church is on mission. We have teams going to Ukraine this summer in June and July. And I want to make sure you know about it for a threefold purpose, that you're going to give toward that, that you'll be willing to go toward that, And if it's not the first two, that you'd be willing to pray about that. So I want to introduce Brother Troy Meacham. And Troy's going to come and speak to us about all that the Lord's doing and opening up doors for Richland Creek to be in Ukraine.
Good morning. Yes, as Pastor David was saying, we have a couple of teams headed to the country of Ukraine this summer. And over the next several years, we'll be partnering with the country of Ukraine to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is really, really exciting. So a couple of things I'd like to just kind of go over, and I'm going to get more detail here with what those trips look like so you'll understand potentially maybe where you can plug in. But as I said, we'll be working with numerous ministries in and around the city of Kiev, and that's the great thing about this. There'll be a lot of discipleship and follow-up after we leave, and that's very important, I know, to our church and to Pastor David. So if you're poor with geography, and I am, just so you can kind of get a feel for where we're talking, many times I'll use the word Ukraine or the country of Ukraine, and people will go, isn't that Russia? Well, no, not really, but kind of. So if you'll notice here, obviously where we are, and over in Eastern Europe is where the country of Ukraine is located. And if you look a little bit closer, you can see that it is right there on the border of Russia, and it's part of the old Soviet bloc of the USSR, if many of you remember those days. And the walls came down back around 1990. But Ukraine was actually the second largest country in the Soviet bloc and was actually the breadbasket. They have an incredible topsoil there. It's like 45 feet deep, so it's amazing, amazingly rich soil there. But just a wonderful, very open country right now. So we're counting our blessings there. So the city of Kiev, I'm going to show you where that is on the map. This is kind of a picture. I've actually stayed, I think, there in that particular apartment building. But that's where we'll be working, in and around that city. The city, I don't know exact number right now. They don't know the exact number, but I think it's somewhere between 4 and 6 million people in the city. So you can see where it's located there in the map, right there on the big river. I think it's called the Dnieper River. And but that's where we'll be flying into. So some more pictures here, kind of get a feel. Infrastructure is very old, all built back in the Soviet days. They're just starting to pick it up, though. They're just starting to make some pretty significant improvements. I have this picture here because I want you to know this country is a very heavy influence of the Russian Orthodox Church, very works-based faith. So that's one of the things that we combat and work on as we go, and so it's pretty challenging at times. So here's what the teams and the trips look like. If you look up here, the first trip will be going June 20th through the 29th, and one of our teams will be led by Burwell Stark, and Burwell will be working with, right outside the city of Kiev, a ministry that ministers to and inside of an orphanage there. So that'll be a very special team and an awesome trip, I am sure. Burwell told me yesterday that there will be a few more spots available, but this trip for the most part is filled. But if anybody feels led here, please, you know how to contact me in just a minute. The second trip will be Evan Myers will be leading a team doing some basketball camp ministry inside the inner city of Kiev. This is a really great opportunity to minister to some street kids and young people who are either homeless or potentially don't really have a home to go to. So Evan will be leading there. We have some need here, guys. If you're 16 years or older, a young man, we really could use you here on this trip and another one on our next leg in July as well. I'll come back to that in a minute. So probably four to six more people would be great for both teams. So, and the last one, we'll be working with a church called Open Hearts Church. And Sergey and Natasha Bochko are the pastor and his wife of this church. They have a great, incredibly thriving, growing church. And one of the things that one of their visions is to build a retreat center. And so we're going to be working on that retreat center, constructing the first main building there. And Jim Gillespie is going to be leading that construction team. We have a need for a few more there as well, maybe three or four more workers who would like to go and participate in that. So there's your picture of what we're going to be doing. It's going to be called the Gloria Conference Center. And some pictures they sent us, that's some of the buildings we'll be working on over the next several years. This is a building similar to what we'll be working on when we go in June. So another, I'm going to talk about prayer needs in a minute, but there's a specific prayer need related to this, which I'll touch on in just a second. and some other buildings. So over the next several years, these are the kinds of things that we're going to be working on as we partner with them. The second trip in July, the 18th through the 27th, Doc Reed, who also who leads up our young professional ministry here, he's carrying a team to go and work in a camp that's a camp focused and targeted towards young professionals in and around the city of Kiev. And there's going to be about 70 to 80 young men and women, most of those do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, will be drawn to this camp to learn English. And that's what many of the people inside this church, that's what they do. Many of them know English, and so they hold these ESL camps. And many of those who will be working with us and partnering with us came to know Christ in and through these types of camps. Very important to note there. We would we have opportunity here as well. We would love to have maybe four or five people on this particular team. Okay, so if you feel led, please let me know. Oh, can we back up real quick? I'm sorry, I hit that too soon. There we go. Lastly, on this particular trip, we are also looking to hold another basketball camp inside the city of Kiev there as well. So. Scott Jones, along with Evan and some others, are really working. But we're going to need some young men to partner with us. So again, if we could have four or six young men to join us on this particular team, that would be awesome. This is a great opportunity and a great time. I joked earlier in the earlier service. There's one thing you don't do in Ukraine. You do not get on a soccer field with a young Ukrainian man. It's not a good thing. Tony Donato and myself tried this several years ago, and it was ugly. It was really bad. So, but what we can do is we can play basketball with them. We got them there, so it's a lot of fun. And just kind of in closing, a good and dear friend, Sasha and Ina Skripnik, are going to be our on-ground coordinators. They live in the city of Kiev. So anybody who knows Sasha knows we will be taken care of. So logistically, it will all go smoothly. Prayer needs. Just please join us as we go. We want to be effective in spreading the gospel. We want people to come to know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, in and through this ministry and this trip. And this is the specific prayer need. Right now, we need to be praying specifically as Sergey and Natasha meet with government officials to try to get electricity to the property. Doesn't sound like a big deal. We take it for granted here in America. It's a big deal. And so there's a lot of stuff. They have a lot of red tape and a lot of conversations. It's a different place. So just understand, be praying that would happen. And lastly, for individual funding, you'll see the trip cost there is about $2,000 per individual. So many individuals in our church here are going to be maybe sending you letters. Please pray about that. If you can financially afford to help them, that would be wonderful. I will tell you that the rest of the trip cost, all the construction, everything else is for the most part taken care of, but the individuals going will need assistance. So I think the last bit is contacts. If you, I'm going to be down here after the service. If you have any interest in participating in any way, you can contact me or Pastor Mike Fry, who's our missions pastor here at the Creek.
Yeah, amen. Troy, if you'll stay up here with me, we're going to pray for those needs now. Grateful for Troy and Doc leading this trip to the Ukraine. Great open doors for the gospel. There'll be opportunities to evangelize, to share the gospel. We have great bridges into the community through the sports camp and through the construction projects, through the ESL. And specifically, if you are able to do construction, are able to play basketball, have a heart to go to work there in the orphanage, really want you to pray about going. I would love to see 15 more folks sign up between these two trips that Troy just described for us. And even if you're saying, well, let me just find out more, I'm not committing to go, make sure you write down that contact information that you see on the screens. Just send an email saying, send me some more information. That's all you got to do. Love to see some more people going on these trips. I love how it's connected with the local church. That's going to assure that we have discipleship, people getting plugged in, and the gospel is spreading. God's given us open doors for the gospel over there. Grateful for Troy. We're going to pray now, and then right after that, we'll have the time of invitation. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are on mission with you. Lord, you say that you won't leave us or forsake us, that you are with us always, and you've commanded us to go. Lord, I pray that we would indeed go. I pray that you would touch this body of believers here at the Creek, that we would be willing to give, Lord, to go or to pray, if not all three.
Lord, I thank you for the many people who are responding to your call to take the gospel, whether that be in North America as we travel to the other side of this state or to Boston. Lord, we have teams going to different places where you've opened up doors and partnerships with us. But specifically, we pray for Team Ukraine, the trip that's going in June and July. God, would you bless these two teams? Would you knit them together and accomplish your purposes? Would you raise up even more from our congregation? Speak to our hearts. And Lord, may we respond in obedience to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, would you go before us and raise the necessary funds? Lord, I thank you for the great funding of these buildings and these projects that are already taken care of and how they will reach many. I pray for the orphanage that is there that we work with. Lord, do great work through these two teams that are going to go. Bless Troy and Doc as they lead this church family on mission overseas. Lord, we pray for this specific request that the electricity will be connected. And Lord, that we would hear a good report in the coming days. Father, go before us and make all these things happen for your glory. We lift up our relationship, our partnership, and the gospel in Ukraine. We intercede on behalf of all these, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.